The words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. We move this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me, to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Let me read these verses to you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so we continue to get this practical instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ regarding not where we can most safely put stuff, not the most secure bank vault that we can find, or where to hide our cash in the house or any such thing, not how to build up more money, not how to accumulate vast 401ks to make our retirement secure. What the Lord Jesus is speaking of here is the heart, the inner man. Where are our priorities? Where are we trying to build up this worth, this value that can be had? If on earth, it's something that, as so many learned back in 2008 when the market crashed and the housing market fell apart, some people thought the whole economy was going to collapse because it was so severe. On earth, where, can we just say, things happen? Things over which you have no control can happen? Or in heaven, where it is God who guards, it is God who even accumulates whatever it is, this reward is, which is not specified by Jesus. He doesn't say you will have this and that and the other things. We do know that there will be rewards in heaven. We do know that there's a crown of life awaiting, that Lord willing, there will be a well done, good and faithful servant. And is that not reward enough? There will be crowns of life given. There will be Jesus Christ there. There will be many mansions, as Jesus said, if it were not so, I would not have told you that it was so. Jesus is, of course, here concerned with the heart. The entire Sermon on the Mount is about the transformed person from the world to the kingdom of heaven. You recall in the Beatitudes, the first and the eighth Beatitude, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what is the kingdom of heaven? But that abode, that eternal abode for him or her who has been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Spirit of God has changed and given a new heart, to believe these things, to confess themselves sinners, and to go to Jesus for forgiveness. This is the man, I mean man, of course, in the most general sense, mankind, that Jesus is pressing us to understand. Who is this one in the Beatitudes? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Who is this one? It is one whose values are such that what is being accumulated in heaven, if nothing more than God's good pleasure upon the things that we've done here, that's enough. And if there's a treasure in heaven for me, just in knowing that I have done something for which God has good regard, that's enough. This is not about the stuff. This is about the transformed heart. Where do we accumulate our treasures? And Jesus warns us here. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Interesting that he doesn't say where your heart is, there your treasure will be. No, it's the other way around as he says it. I think it's very intentional. Where the treasure is, where the things we value, that's where we will set our heart. The eye is the body of the lamp. We'll speak about that. Two masters. You cannot serve God and money. Mammon in the older King James Version. You can't do both, because God will have our whole heart. And frankly, money here, I think, just stands in for worldly values.
And if you're committed to the world, as much as does God, demands our all. The single-minded focus on God, its concern for what he would have us value that Jesus speaks of here. And there's these three metaphors driving the point home: treasure, eye, and master. So verses 19 to 21, with treasures on earth versus treasures in heaven, moth and rust and thieves and all those things, straightforward terms telling us to set our hope on the heavenly treasures of God in preference to the junk on earth. Verses 22 to 23 are about our focus, the eye, and where it leads us to. And finally, the master, indicated by the things that we call treasure and the vision we have. Then we focus all that on what is going to be, and what always is, and experience tells us, is a jealous master. Treasures on earth or treasure in heaven. The Lord speaks in the voice of command. He says, do not, I command you, do not lay up treasures on earth. Do, I command you, do lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What seems to be in mind is grand oriental style garments when he speaks about moth and rust destroying them. These very fancy and beautiful oriental garments made of silk and accented with precious metals. Moths would be attracted to the one, rust to the other. And they are, in a word, transient. This stuff's not going to last. Eventually, it's just going to be gone. And if the moths should not be able to get to the silk, if one was able to keep the rust away from the metals, then you still have to worry about the thieves. Our Lord sets before us these two mutually exclusive visions: treasure we can see, treasure we cannot. There's some you can see. I can take out my wallet. I think I've got a little cash in it. I can show it to you. Nothing compared to the treasure that you cannot see. The treasure which by faith you believe is there. Now, we've heard it before, and it bears repeating, especially in a passage like we have before us this morning. There's nothing inherently wrong with money. We could even say with treasure. Paul does not say that money is the root of all evil. He doesn't say that. He says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's the incipient point. It's that focus that leads to other things. But he doesn't say money itself is the problem. It's the heart. We have to understand this. Nothing wrong inherently with earthly treasure. Boaz, Job, Abraham, just to name three, were all very well off. They were all very wealthy men. The question we have before us is one of relative values. Specifically, which one do we cherish more? What God has supplied to us here, and what more we might earn here, or the other, the heavenly reward? Which one is our heart set towards? Now, do you want to know where your treasure is? I mean, your real treasure. Follow the paths that your heart takes you on. What is the most common thing for my mind to dwell on? I mean, many years ago, I think when the California lottery was first starting up, they had this ad for it, this commercial on TV. There's this guy, I think he was in a Jeep Wagoneer. It was an older one. And he's in a very hot day, stuck in traffic, horns honking, all of this stuff. And of course, his air conditioner's not working, so he's got the window down. He's still sweating. It's just such a miserable experience. And then a guy drives by the other way in a great big fancy truck towing this great big boat, about the biggest boat you could possibly tow on the road without it being a complete luxury yacht. And as this one goes by this way with clear sailing, he's got the windows up, of course, he's got nice air conditioning, he's going the ocean in his nice fancy yacht. And this guy in the Jeep, so he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out his lottery ticket. And just think, is what the announcer comes in and says, just think. What could happen for that buck that you spent? Where does our mind go when we think about such matters? When we consider our relative values, the relative value that we have, what's our net worth, if you will, to use the accounting term? Where's your mind go? Where does my mind go? To stuff, to if only, if I could get a raise, I could get one more? Or to one more good work done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the honor of God his Father by the power of his Spirit, knowing by faith, knowing that if I have stepped into a work which God prepared in advance that I should walk in it, that all I might get, if it's only God's pleasure, it's enough. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There, our priorities reveal our treasures. And it is the heart that determines what those treasures are going to be. It's an issue of the heart, of the inner man. We could say it's an issue of faith. Do you believe that there are treasures we accumulate in heaven? Do we really believe it? That there is a God who knows all things and sees all things. Jesus says very clearly here, without telling us what they will be, that there are treasures in heaven. Do we believe that? I think what Paul says about when we see Jesus, we won't hope for Jesus anymore, because who hopes for what he sees? We can hope for that treasure, that heavenly treasure, not knowing what it is, knowing that one day, because Jesus says in this word that it's there, one day we'll stop hoping for it. We'll stop thinking about it because we'll see it. And who hopes for what he sees? Faith takes the Lord at his word that God is piling something up for us. Faith says that whatever it is, God does only what is right. That's what Jesus is speaking of here. And we all have to look at this. We have to say, where is my heart? What keeps me up at night? When I balance my checkbook and I see where I spend my money, are my priorities right? What does it reveal of my heart? Nothing here says do not take care of yourself or your families. Nothing says anything like that. It doesn't say don't save for your retirement. It would be foolish not to. If we don't save for our retirement, they'd be saying something like, I think I know when Jesus is coming back when I'm 67 and a half years old and I won't need any more money after that time. No. Everywhere the Bible commends planning, responsibility, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children, that sort of thing. No, it's simply a matter, and this is basic Christian stuff, Christianity 101. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the priorities. Where does our mind dwell? Let that be the barometer for us as we look at a verse like this or verses like this. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Still speaking, of course, of the heart, of the inner man. These verses, though, they're a little bit less straightforward than the other ones we just covered. The word for healthy means to be simple, to be single, to be sincere about something. The idea there is to be focused, not staring at something with the physical eye. That would leave out people who are sight impaired. As with treasure and heart, this is a metaphor meant to lead us to a spiritual truth. To be singular in our focus, to be determined and one-minded about it. And of course, what that focus is clearly the kingdom of heaven, the things of God by his Son, Jesus Christ. What he's speaking of here is like Psalm 119, verse 6 and verse 10. Let me read those together for you. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on your commandments. With all my heart I will seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Eye and heart are almost synonymous here. I mean, the eye can lead to all sorts of trouble. Eve looked and saw that the tree was good for food. Achan's eye, led by the heart, saw the devoted things in Jericho and sinned on behalf of all Israel. David's eye landed on Bathsheba, and we know where that led. Job made a covenant with his eyes not to gaze where he oughtn't. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, we covered this several weeks ago, anyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The eye, when Jesus says if your eye is bad or if your eye is good, what's he speaking of here? It's all about the heart. The whole Sermon on the Mount is about the heart, and no less here. The gist of it is to be singular in our focus. Just to be singular in our focus, one-minded about it. Nothing can push me to the left or the right. I'm going to focus on God and what He says I ought to do. Psalm 86:11, I think, says it very well. He says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." We do no damage to a text like that if we would interpret it as also saying something like, "Unite my heart to fear your name, and make singular my eye to look to the things of you." So what has all this to do with light and darkness? If eye stands for that which we're focused on, then its gaze is the barometer of our priorities. If the light it lets in, speaking metaphorically, of course, the eye is the lamp of the body, that means that's where the light comes in, what we're looking at. We can tell if we're letting light in, if our focus is on God, on His Word, on the works that He laid in advance for us to do, those sorts of things, or others. Money, or worse. Then the eye, which is letting in that light, if it's on the one side, it's darkness. How great is that darkness? If that's the light you're letting in, how great is the darkness? On the other hand, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, His Word, lets real light in and illumines the self. And then there are the two masters. The last verse tells us who the choices are. You have two masters, one or the other, God or money. Money stands in for any kind of worldly treasure, any kind of worldly status, prestige, anything you can get here. You cannot serve that and God. If you try to compromise between them, you're doomed to fail because you cannot love them both. God won't share us, not if we have His Holy Spirit dwelling within. He will not share us. He demands our complete and undivided loyalty. God does. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. For their part, the world hates the things of God and will have none of Him, and would only be happy with a Christian who repudiates the things of God as just Christian in name. The two choices are so antithetical to each other, they're so mutually exclusive that they can't be held together or in any way reconciled. We cannot make peace between these two. James says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Much like this morning from Romans 2, verses 1 through 11, these are severe words. These are words we must take notice of and pay attention to. Elsewhere, James says, "Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." So also, I would say, the Christian, the believer in Jesus Christ, you simply cannot split your loyalties between this world and Jesus Christ. It can't be done. God wants our all. And if we have any friendship on this other side, and that doesn't mean we don't have friends who are non-Christians. That's not what he means. Friendship, again, what are we speaking of? The heart. If we have a heart that yearns for the things of this world, that is irreconcilable with God. Not having friends who don't believe. I have friends who don't believe, and I think all of us do. That's not what it means. The world wants no less of us, really, than what God would have. They have no right to us, but they would strive for the same amount of loyalty. In Romans 6:2, Paul says, "You are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness." And we're all the way back again. I think I mentioned this last week. Joshua 24:15, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Will you serve the gods of this age, the gods of this land, or the God who redeemed you out of slavery? The God who took the chains off, as I was speaking this morning from that great hymn. Will you serve Him or the other? Choose this day.
Our Lord commands us and warns us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You cannot serve two masters. The heart stays fixated on what it values. The eye follows it, infusing the soul with whatever light that particular object of desire is able to produce in us. And all the while, we give our loyalty to whomever or whatever is able to give us the desire of the heart. Brethren, guard your heart. Guard your heart. In the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us always be looking to our heart and making sure that our loyalty is undivided, that we treasure the things that God is storing for us in heaven. Whatever those are, he doesn't even tell us specifically. That our eye is singularly focused upon him, and that we know that he is our master and he is the one we serve. Jesus, as we expect, he points us to a better way. He points us to the right way. He shows us the way to real treasure, to true happiness. What God gives cannot be taken away, nor can it ever deteriorate. Is your focus upon God? Well, praise God, because that is the ultimate gift of God, the ultimate treasure. Because if you're focused upon God, that means you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means the Holy Spirit is giving you that new heart, that undivided heart, that desire to serve him and to know him better. That can never be taken away. The scripture says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus says, my Father is greater than all. No one can pluck the believer, you whose faith is in Jesus Christ, out of my Father's hand. No one can. Let's close by borrowing from Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Set your mind on heaven, where Christ is. And as heaven differs from earth, so do the treasures that the two will hold for us. Set your mind on the ultimate treasure, which is Jesus Christ, and trust him to guide the right way and on the right paths. Amen.